2016. Everybody's excited about 2016. Amen. Why are we excited about 2016? Because it's a new year, right? Praise the Lord. Every year, new year comes. Everybody's excited because we get to put last year behind us and start fresh. Amen. Praise the Lord. God gives us the ability to start fresh every day. Do you realize that God gives you new, fresh mercies every morning? Amen? Fresh mercy every morning. Every day is a new day, and every day is the best day. Praise the Lord. Every day is a new day, and every day is the best day. It means today is better than yesterday. Amen? You know why today is better than yesterday? Because yesterday's gone. It's over. No matter how good yesterday was, it's gone. So today's got to be the best day. Amen. Praise the Lord, y'all. Y'all excited about it? Y'all happy that it's New Year? All right, I want to make sure. Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to begin a series called Wisdom. Wisdom. While you turn into 1 Corinthians, tell your neighbor, praise God for wisdom. Praise God for wisdom. Tell your other neighbor, say, yes, I said praise God for wisdom. Yeah, now y'all sound like y'all believe up in here now. Praise the Lord. The book of 1 Corinthians, is written to the people of Corinth by Paul. Paul, writing to them, is recognizing and acknowledging that there are some things about them that they need to understand. If you know some history about the city of Corinth, very much like modern New York City, San Francisco, metropolitan city, a port city, all kinds of trade and commerce comes into Corinth, and the people of Corinth, y'all heard of that? Y'all remember Ricardo Montalban? Remember he talked about the Corinthian leather in the car, right? What did that mean? It meant it was that nice leather. The people of Corinth were wealthy people. They had a lot of assets. They had things. They had possessions. They were very well off. And because they were very well off, they did what most of us do when we become well off. They lean on the armor of flesh. See, this is what the Bible teaches us. When you cut everything else down to it, the Bible is about God first, everything else after. You can strip the whole, you can strip everything down and come down to that conclusion. It's God first and then everything else. The most wealthy man in the Bible, Solomon, he writes the book of Ecclesiastes and he said, this is the end of the matter. I done told you all about how much money I had. I told you about all this other stuff. I've given you all this wisdom. I told you about vanity of vanities. I told you all that, but it comes down to this. Man's responsibility is to serve God. That's it. That's it. Man's ultimate responsibility is to be a reflection of God. When God created man in the Garden of Eden, he created him in his own image. He could have created man in any way he wanted to do, but he said, no, I'm going to create man in our image. In the image of God created he him, both male and female. He created them. And then he told them, have dominion over the whole world. Have dominion over all my creation. Now, Adam, with that instruction, eventually ran into a problem. The problem he ran into is that in executing dominion, the enemy tried to deceive him to thinking that he was missing something or lacking something, and God didn't give him everything that was required. And because he believed the serpent, he reached out for something that he wasn't supposed to have, that he had no ability to manage, and he pulled it to himself. And with the inability to manage it, we now have inherited his inability to manage things because we don't understand really the distinction between good and evil. We think we know, but we really don't know. That's why we fall into evil so quickly, because we really don't understand it. See, there's a couple of things here. First of all, there is knowledge. But knowledge means nothing until it becomes personal to us. So before knowledge becomes personal, it's actually just information. So, Tammy, where's my wife? She had to go out. What? Oh, man, come on. She done messed up my whole little program here. I got to lean on the Lord now. I can't lean on what I was going to do. I'll just tell it to you like this. When my wife and I met, I knew her. Now, what I didn't know when I met my wife is that 4 years before that, I actually worked with one of her best friends. Her best friend mentioned her name, but I didn't know her. So I had her name, which was just information. But it really didn't make any difference. No matter how great the information was about what I heard, it didn't make a difference till I actually met her and knew her. Now I know her. Now once I know her and we interact, eventually God gives me a revelation. Now I know her, but he gave me a revelation. What's the revelation? That's your wife. God opened my eyes to it. God showed it to me. And so when he shows it to me, now I can either say, wow, that's great knowledge. That's a great revelation. But the next thing as to whether it comes to pass or does not come to pass is no longer in God's hands, because God has already revealed it. The fact of the matter is, once God reveals something, there is something required of us to inherit the word or to bring about manifestation. We refer to it as application, but it really is wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take either knowledge or revelation and apply it to a situation to bring about a result or a manifestation. So when you get revelation from God, no matter how great the revelation is, no matter how big it is, if God shows that you are supposed to be next in charge behind Jesus Christ, it doesn't make a difference, because you won't get there unless God also gives you wisdom to bring it to pass. No matter how big your dream, your vision is, no matter how big it is, you're going nowhere unless you get some wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom oversees everything else. And if you can't get a hold of wisdom from God, you're going to have a problem. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 here. Now I want you to listen close. I'm going to read the whole chapter to you. So I want you to listen close. Read along and listen. When you get there, tell your neighbor, I'm there. Now whoever y'all ain't there, that means y'all stopped turning while y'all was listening to me. All right, here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen close. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the spirit of things except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things which we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So let's take apart this thing, a couple of things. First thing is, there's human knowledge, wisdom, and there's God's wisdom. There's human wisdom and there's godly wisdom. They are not the same. You can find people who are very wise, but that doesn't mean they're wise in the things of God. So I can find somebody who's wise in relationships on a human level, but they're not wise concerning spiritual level of relationships. So the word says that in a multitude of counselors, there is safety, but I'm going to add something to it. Not that I add or take away from the word, but here's a piece of wisdom. If your counselors don't know God, they're going to give you what they have, which is ungodly counsel. If your counselors know God, then they can give you godly counsel. But they can only give you counsel to the level that they have wisdom. See, if I don't know God a certain way, again, because the mind of God, no man knows the mind of God except the Spirit. So the Spirit has to reveal things to me in order for me to pass things on to you. I cannot stand here and preach to you what I do not understand, because eventually somebody who does understand say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because you must know him. During worship today, I think Dorothy said, that I might know him in his resurrection power, in the fellowship of his suffering. Guess what? Until you die, you can't know resurrection power. You can't understand resurrection power until you lay something down. And when you lay it down, then God can reveal it alive to you. Resurrection power, resurrection understanding. So when I came to God, I had to die. I couldn't know him until I was willing to die. And because I was so resistant of God, there's some things that I lost because I was not willing to die on my own. I had to have them taken from me in order to die. But Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. You can lay it down if you want, or you can wait for it to get taken. But if you're going to know him in his resurrection power, you're going to have to let something die. Sometimes what has to die is your personality. Sometimes what has to die is your rulership. Sometimes what has to die is your authority. Sometimes what has to die is your all the things that you're so proud of. But something's going to die if you're going to know him. If you want to know him, something's got to go. Not out of sacrifice. Because that's what sometimes people do. They try to sacrifice themselves in order to know God. He's not asking for a sacrifice. He's asking for you to lay it down. The difference between sacrifice and laying something down. When you sacrifice something, it means I'm giving this to you so that you will. To give it means I'm laying it down so you can. See, when I say I'm laying it down so you will do this, in other words, I'm going to do this, so God, you got to do what I say. When you lay it down, you say, God, I'm laying it down so you can, because I don't even know what you want to do. I don't even know what you want to do with me, but I'm willing to lay it down and let you do whatever you want to do, because I know you possess a wisdom that the world cannot understand or comprehend. It says in the passage we just read, if the rulers of this world had understood Jesus, if they really knew him, if they understood who he was, they never would have crucified him. But they didn't know. They didn't have knowledge. And so because there was no knowledge, God couldn't reveal it. They didn't know him. Wisdom. Go to Proverbs. Let's do this. Before I go there, I want to make sure we lay this whole foundation. I said that there's spiritual knowledge and there's human knowledge. Okay? Man is a triune being, right? We'll agree on that. If you agree on that, say amen. There's three parts to the human being. There's the spirit, the soul, and the body. The body lives in neutral all the time. The body just here. It's just the house. It's just the place where you live. What controls you is your soul. Your soul, then, is the seat of your imagination, your will, your emotions, your senses. Those are the things that are in your soul. Your senses are that part of you that takes touch, taste, the things that touch the body and interprets it into who you are so that you feel something. But God created man in a three-part, not a two-part. See, I grew up only knowing two parts. I knew my body and I knew what I think. And that's all I knew. And so everything in my life was based on what I think, what I feel, and then what I can do with that. And that's how you're driven. That's how you live. If you understand that you're three parts, then all of a sudden you have to slow down and say, wait a minute, what's the third part? The third part is the spirit of man, the spirit that's in you. And what you've just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is, no man knows the spirit of a man except the spirit that's in him. There's a spirit in you. There's something in you. And nobody can really know you because the spirit's so deep inside you, I can't get to know you. I know my wife. Come here, Tammy. Now, I told y'all before. Her friend, Karen, turn around. See, she's beautiful, isn't she? Now, her friend, Karen, I worked with before I knew her. So Karen mentioned Tammy's name. She mentioned Tammy. Tammy, I keep hearing the name Tammy. I don't know who Tammy is, but I got information. Then I give my life to the Lord. And I come to church, and I met Tammy. So now I met Tammy. Now I know Tammy. Now, what do I know? I know, I see her, I see her beauty, see those beautiful eyes, I see her. And it's not even Valentine's Day, see? Now, I get to know her, I see her, but there's a limit to what I can know. Because I can only know what I can see outside or what she's willing to reveal. You can only know somebody to the level of what they're willing to reveal to you. So she reveals who she is. And we share. And so then in the revealing, God reveals, that's your wife. So I said, okay. We get married. I'm still in progressively knowing her. Because the longer we're married, progressively, I know her more and more. And as I get to know her, God also now has to give me wisdom on how to be with her. Because just because you know don't mean you know how. Amen? Just because you know doesn't mean you understand. There's a distinction, but there's a progressive revelation concerning who she is and how we fit together. The wisdom is how we fit together, how we operate together. Thank you, sweetheart. Beautiful. Now, wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and do something with it. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and do something with it. A wise person seeks out knowledge. Now, turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 through 9. Now, man is a triune being, right? Spirit, soul, and body. As I'm getting to know her, eventually I get to her spirit. Eventually I get to know her spiritually. But you got to get through the other things to get to the spirit. Because nobody really knows the spirit except the spirit that's in her. The only other person who knows her spiritually is going to be God. The person who knows you spiritually the most deeply is always going to be God. So when you understand that, then you start understanding, now I stop trying to figure certain things out. Amen. See, I only got a few amens on that. Eventually, when you realize you cannot really get to know, then you start realizing, it's not my job. My job as a pastor, I'm as a pastor, I love y'all. I love y'all. But I don't know y'all. I can't know you. Nobody knows the spirit of a man except the spirit that's in him. So I got some wisdom. I don't know him. So I don't get surprised if you do something great. I don't get surprised if you do something wrong. Why? I don't know you. I love you, but I don't know the inner person. I don't know the most deepest thing you have. And because nobody can know that, because nobody can know that, you can't lean on other people. You got to lean on God. See that? Now we get into some, what is this work? What is this wisdom? When you understand nobody can really know you, then you know you got to lean on the Lord who knows you because he knows. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord knows you. He knows what you need and he knows what you have. Amen. All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Let me turn there. I was getting on y'all. Let me turn there. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Proverbs 4. Listen to this. Check this out. Verses 5 through 9. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. Uh-oh. Tell your neighbor, say, your boss can't promote you. Wisdom will promote you. Watch out now. Watch out. Here we go. She will bring you honor. Tell your neighbor, say, you can't honor me. Wisdom honors me. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Wisdom. Wisdom. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. We have to get to a relationship with wisdom. We have to enter into a relationship with wisdom. Listen to this. Wisdom and faith are the backbone of manifestation. Wisdom and faith are the backbone of manifestation. In other words, if you have wisdom and you exercise faith, God can bring about manifestation. But if you have wisdom and no faith, then you will know, but you won't move. If you have faith and no wisdom, you just move anywhere. Wisdom and faith are the backbone of manifestation. You cannot have manifestation from God unless we get God's wisdom and we get faith and we move in the direction that God is telling us to move. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1 now. Proverbs 1, verse 7. Proverbs 1 and 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, remember what Hosea 4 and 6 said? It said, my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge, but the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So you got to get to, again, the real wisdom, the wisdom of God, you can't get except at the feet of God. You can't get the wisdom of God from anywhere else. You got to get wisdom of God from the feet of God. You got to be in God's presence in order to get God's wisdom. Now, I told you, manifestation, its backbone is faith and wisdom. Your life right now, your current life, is the summary of your wisdom. Your life right now is the summary of your wisdom. Okay, we have this. This is what we understand. God revealed this to us. There's five areas of your human life. There's your relationship with God, your relationship with people around you. It's how you use your gifts and talents, your health and wellness, and how you manage the resources God gives to you. Those five areas of your life. Your life is a summary of your wisdom in those five areas. Now, what does that mean? There's no condemnation in Christ. If you're saying, oh man, if I just, no, I ain't, and it's not that. It's that God is blessing our lives, but to the degree we've listened to God is the degree we have what God wants for us in those areas, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of your knowledge. You may have done well in human areas, but there's human wisdom and there's godly wisdom. And sometimes we have human wisdom and we're executing things in a human sense and we're doing well in the human life, except now I have everything except I'm depressed. Because I'm pursuing human wisdom, and human wisdom has its own fruit. Because there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end is what? Destruction. But the fear of the Lord, the word fear means the reverence. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If I can take the reverence of God and I can start there with my gifts and talents, then God will show me how to use my gifts in ways I haven't even thought about. God will start revealing to me gifts I didn't even know I had. God will start taking me and putting me in position to do things I never considered were my opportunities. Why? Because my gifts will make room for me. Why? Because if I bring my gift before God and I start with the knowledge of God, God will give me wisdom to use things in a new way other people haven't even thought about. People were harvesting peanuts for years. As long as peanuts have been on the planet, people were harvesting peanuts. And one man asked God to reveal things to me. Lord, reveal to me how your universe works. And God said, I'm not going to show you all that. I'm going to show you how this peanut works. I'm going to give you a wisdom concerning this one thing. People been walking past, stepping over, mad that they're picking them for years. I'm going to show you things that other people don't know. God told Jeremiah, he said, call on me, I will answer you. I will show you great and mighty things you don't even know. I'm going to reveal things that you haven't even thought about. Now, when he reveals, then he gives a wisdom on what to do with what you know. So George Washington Carver gets revealed by God, the peanut. And now, everything you can do with something plastic came from his revelation and wisdom on what to do. God, show me this. What if God only shows you that? Do we despise the day of humble beginnings? Do we despise what little thing God shows us? See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So God's letting you in on God's letting you in on something that you think is a seed. You think it's a nothing. You don't think it has any power. And Jesus' disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. He said, you don't need a bunch of faith. If you got faith like a mustard seed, you will say to a mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and it will obey you. We don't need God to reveal big things to us. He may reveal big things to us, but he wants to see what will you do with the little things he shows you. Go to James 1, 5 and 8. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. Tell your neighbor, in 2016... I'm open to little things. Oh, man. Chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all, how? Liberally and without reproach. And it will what? Be given to him. I want you right now, say, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. Yes. Hallelujah. If you ask, it will be given to you without reproach, liberally. He won't hold back. Verse 6. But let him ask in what? Faith. With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let that man suppose or not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded and unstable in all his ways. God wants to give us wisdom, but he needs us to trust him. He wants to give us wisdom, but the wisdom has to be founded in faith. Faith is the substance of things you hope for, the evidence of things you cannot see. But sometimes we want to see it before we believe it, therefore you can't have wisdom about it. See, God wants to give us wisdom. He wants to give us understanding. He wants us to show us exactly what he wants us to do. And to the extent that I can, oh man, how do I say this? To the extent that I can believe God is the edge of my wisdom. That's why the word says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of your heart are come the issues of your life. In other words, God's going to reveal things in your heart, but the boundary is going to be the extent of your faith. How much you've guarded your heart. Have you kept your heart in faith, or have you allowed the enemy to come in and persuade you with human wisdom? See, the enemy wants to come in and uproot your faith by getting you on a human wisdom program. Please don't be offended when I say this. Anybody who hears this and knows what I'm talking about, don't be offended. But it's revelation I had to grasp. A person came to our church and they said, the love is great, but the love is great, but you know what that meant? It means I'm having a hard time believing it. I want to believe it, but I'm having a hard time believing it. And because I'm having a hard time believing, if something comes and reveals itself that doesn't look like love to me, then I reject it. That means the whole thing wasn't real. What happened? Our human side comes and robs our faith. See, love is not the perfection. Love is the commitment. Love is not, if I love my kids, but guess what? I made mistakes. Love is the commitment. Even if I make a mistake, I'm committed to being there. I'm committed to being with you. I'm committed to seeing it through, even if I'm not perfect in the execution of it. But when we are in a position where we're trusting people and not trusting God, then every time we see something from people, we automatically judge it like people. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying that we got to grow in progressive revelation that our faith cannot be based on people. Our wisdom cannot be based on people. Our knowledge can't be based on people. It has to be on God. It has to be on Him. We have to count that God is the one who's working on us. God is the one who's doing for us. God is the one who's seeing us through. God is making me a lover of people. But He got to start with what He got. You know where clay comes from? It comes from the dirt. So you want to make this beautiful pot with clay. The clay you've drug out of the dirt is still dirty. It's got to go through something to get purified, and eventually it's going to be beautiful. But in the process, it may be dirty. But our dirt is removed by the progressive wisdom of God. By God continuing to progress in us, God continuing to work through us, God continuing to reveal new things to us and giving us the wisdom to execute what He says. James 5:1 says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God and He's going to give it to you. Ask of God, He will give it to you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Guess what? God's going to correct me. God's going to correct me. Point to yourself, God's going to correct me. If I ask for wisdom, say it with me, if I ask for wisdom, God might have to correct me. God might have to change me. God might have to do something to me. God might have to show me something because my human wisdom may get challenged. And when my human wisdom gets challenged, then I have to be open to the God wisdom coming in, and that might cause me to move in a new way. It might cause me to do something different. It might cost me something. Because I may have to lay something down, something that I love, something I'm fond of, something I've built. I spent a long time building this tower. But I may have to walk away from it. They were going to build a tower up to God. They said, you know what? God told us to go all over the world, but if we go over the world, people might forget who we are. Let's come together. Let's build us a tower up to heaven. And they start building this tower up to heaven. And God said, let me go down and see what they're doing. Let me check this out. They are building a tower up to heaven. Let me see what they're doing. He comes down. He said, oh, you know what? They have one language, one mind. And you know what? At this point forward, from this day forward, nothing that man conceives in his heart to do will be stopped from him. I won't stop man from doing anything he wants to do. If man makes up his mind he wants to go to Jupiter, I am not going to stop him. If he wants to go to the bottom of the ocean, I'm not going to stop him. But I'm going to stop these fools right here because I told them to do something. So he confused their language and made them go. But he promised he won't stop us. Now, listen to this. They're building a tower up to heaven. God had to come see about it. So what does that mean? They were using their human wisdom to build. And they got God's attention. You can build something in your human wisdom. You can build something good in your human wisdom. But Carl, we were talking the other day. He said, you know, somebody told him, God is always good, but everything good don't come from God. They were building something, but God wasn't in it. So it's human wisdom trying to be executed. Now,
Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. You have power beyond your measure, behind what you know. You don't understand how much power you have because God has given you human wisdom that can do great things. People all the time, human beings all the time build empires with human wisdom. All the time. Human wisdom, you can do great things with human wisdom. But human wisdom goes to the grave. I saw this little video. Somebody showed me this video. It's this man who had this invention. He had this invention. He had a teacup. He could put water, room temperature, cold water, put it in a teacup, and he had this little device he created. And he could take this device, and the device would create a sound wave. He could dip it in the water, and the water would boil almost immediately. And they got it on video. They show it. The water's sitting there. They show it, come out the tap, put it in there, boiling, just like that. What? No electronic, it ain't plugged into nothing. It's a little thing. He's a little thing holding in his hand. It almost looked like the kind of thing, you know, when you put a candle out, you know, the little. That's what it looked like. Yeah, snuff, thank you. Boop, bloop, water's boiling. Amazing. Human wisdom. He died before he would tell anybody what it was, how it would work. Invention's gone with him because it was human wisdom. Now, somebody else can get it. But what about godly wisdom? What's the purpose of godly wisdom? Human beings can create all kinds of stuff. He's not even a scientist. This guy just created something. Where'd that come from? He could use his mind. He figured something out. But what about the spirit? What about the spirit of man? What if we're able to get ourselves in position to listen to God? What if we can get ourselves in position to start with the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God, and really take what we think and subdue it to the reverence of God, to clear our minds, and really go to God, not asking God what we want, but being willing to hear what he's saying? What if we can just clear ourselves and just say, Lord, just show me whatever you want to show me. You'd be amazed at what God wants to do. Look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse, where I want to start. Let's start at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to Paul. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Tell your neighbor, said there's unsearchable riches in Christ. Wow. Verse 9. And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Remember, fellowship means partnership, communion, communication. What is the communication of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus? In other words, there is a mystery in Christ that God is wanting to reveal, but it's in him. It's not found in human mind. It's not found in our thoughts. It's not found in our imaginations. It's only found in him. Look at this, verse 9. To make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus. Verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God may be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. God wants to reveal all of his wisdom, his manifold wisdom. Manifold means many-faceted, multi-sided, that there's multi-sides to the wisdom of God. He wants to make it known to the principalities and powers, but he's chosen to make it known by the church. And a hush fell over the room. We're going to be talking about wisdom because I want everybody here to know God's choice is to reveal himself through you. Amen. Paul said, I'm the least of all the saints, but now I have this revelation of this mystery. What is it? That God wants to reveal himself not by some lightning bolt coming out of the sky, not by an earthquake shaking the world, not by a flood coming back and wiping out all the people that are evil. God said, I don't want to reveal myself like that anymore. I want to reveal myself through my church. I want to reveal myself to the world by my church. But what if the church can't hear from God? What if the church is not willing to receive God's wisdom? What if the church is not willing to be the reflection of his wisdom? And how's God going to show himself to the world? My Lord, go to Romans chapter 8. Y'all know what it says, but I'm going to go here anyway. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Now, I told you all that I told you to tell you this. Here's the key point of everything I'm talking to you about right now. The mystery of the ages that was revealed in Christ, it is God's desire to reveal his wisdom to the world through the church. That's the point of this whole message. The point of the whole message is God wants to reveal wisdom to the world through the church. So God's wisdom has five areas. Relationship with him, relationships with people, our gifts and talents, our health, how we're doing, and then how we manage our resources. He wants to reveal himself in those five areas to the world through the church. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Let's read it together out loud. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The world's waiting for you to be revealed. But you can only be manifested by wisdom and by faith. I used to teach this class called Total Prosperity. And so this, after the financial crisis, this guy who took the class, he was kind of upset. And he came to me and said, well, Pastor, how you doing? So you teaching that Total Prosperity. How you doing since everything crashed? And my answer was very simple. To the extent I obey God's word, I'm doing excellent. Every area, listen to this. If during the financial crisis you were obeying the word of God and not people, then you would be prospering even now. Because the word does not fail. The word doesn't change. The word doesn't fall. The word doesn't drop off. The word don't work sometimes and then not work other times. The word of God always works. And because it always works, it is the source of my wisdom. I have chosen to let the wisdom of God be in me through his word. And because it is, I believe that in this new season of manifestation, what manifests out of me is going to be what manifests from the word of God.
Your choice to obey the word is going to say what the manifestation is. Like I said, your life is a result. It is an outcome of the wisdom that you have possessed to this date. And if you have used human wisdom, then you have all the benefits of human wisdom. If you use the wisdom of God, you got all the benefit of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Forget not all of his benefits. What are his benefits? He healeth all your diseases. He redeems your life from destruction. He redeems your life from destruction. You follow God, you cannot be destroyed. I was standing one day and I looked over a congregation where I was, and the Lord said, my people are invincible. Y'all don't sound like y'all believe that. My people are invincible. That's what God says. Why? Because they cannot be stopped. No weapon formed against my people can prosper. Even those that form it, judgment is going to come on them. You understand what I'm saying? You can't be stopped. See, now, but here's what it requires. When you go to the feet of God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you go to the feet of God, everybody who thinks they have authority over you, they do not have authority, because I'm only bowing to one, and that is God. People think they have charge of you. They don't have charge of you. God has charge of you. And if you can execute the wisdom of God according to what he says in faith, then you will be able to dominate everything. What did he tell the children of Israel? He said, listen, you're going into a foreign land, but listen what I'm going to tell you. If you hearken to my voice, if you do what I say, then guess what will happen? I will make you the head and not the tail. I will make you above and not beneath. I will do this and that and that and that. God says, this is what I'll do if you can hearken to my voice. Solomon builds this temple. He builds this temple. He said, Lord, let your glory fall on this place. And God's glory, by Solomon's request, falls on the place. And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord is everywhere. And then he says, Lord, if you will hear from heaven, will you heal our land if we pray to you, if we submit ourselves to you, if we come before you? And then what everybody's aware of is when God comes and answers him in the night. But God answered his prayer. It ain't just God coming out of nowhere and just saying, oh, if you do this, if you call on my... No, no. Solomon had to ask him. What does Solomon say? Lord, my father's had everything. I don't want anything. But if you'll bless me with wisdom to lead your people, if you would just give me wisdom to lead your people, that's all I desire. And you know what God said? He's because you ain't asked me for money. If you didn't ask me for all this, the head of your enemies, because you didn't try to get vengeance or anything else from me, but because you sought out wisdom, I'll give you all of that. Last passage. Go to Proverbs chapter 1 again, verse, oh, Jesus. I don't want to start preaching a whole nother message. I got a whole nother message I can preach right now. Proverbs chapter 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop right there once I read this. Whew. Oh, Lord. I'm ready to quote it, but I want to read it just right. Proverbs chapter 1. It's in my Bible somewhere. Here it comes. Start at verse 20. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I've called you and you refused, I've stretched out my hand and no one regarded. You disdained all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also have to laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your terror comes. Is it God's mocking people? No, wisdom's mocking people. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they won't find me. You can't find God in the middle of your crisis. You got to ride the storm out. But if you can call on God before the crisis, he'll be with you in the storm. Amen? Come on now, verse 29. But they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancifuls. The turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever, turn to your neighbor and say, but whoever. Whoever listens to me will dwell what? Safely. And will what? Be secure without fear of evil. Don't let people talk you out of obeying God. You got to obey God, get with God, sit at his feet, and let him work in your behalf. Amen? Amen. The next few weeks, we're going to keep digging deeper into wisdom. We're going to get all the way down in this thing. Amen? Amen. Let's stand on your feet. Let's give God some praise. Hallelujah.